Title of this message is Sinat Chinam. I've preached on this subject a few times in the past. It loosely translates to baseless hatred or hatred without a cause. I'm preaching on this because the last few weeks have been truly bizarre. My life is, I've been watching things happen, I've been involved in things, and I'll tell you, my mind does not function in our present society. It just continually gets boggled, and I find myself without any direction. I'm just lost. It's chaotic. My wife was going someplace. She changed lanes. Somebody didn't like the way she changed lanes, so they followed her and threatened her with violence. She had to call the police. Somebody actually wanted to throw hands over a lane change. My mind can't accept that. My brain cannot get around that. I'm not opposed to violence. But over a lane change? Really? This will not register. That group determined that there was a piece of tape on the offering jar that was out of place and determined that one of the ladies stole something from the offering. The group that proclaims it's no longer under the authority of the police, what do you think they called? County sheriff. And for 3.5 days, I was involved. And of all the things that I can least afford, the most precious commodity to me at this point is time, because I have none of it. 3.5 days dealing with police and videos, and not just me. There was a total of 7 people that I know of who are involved. Now there's more. This is now in the hands of a detective. And according to 3 or 4 of the people who were there, there was a few bucks in the offering, 15, 20 bucks. There was some change and some singles and things like this. I'd have given you the 20 bucks. Seek to be at peace with all men and holiness, without which no man should see God. Here's $20. Please be quiet. I don't want to hear this. In a conversation with the deputy, he was going, wow, I had a few minutes here, so I stopped by. But, you know, normally we're really busy at this juncture. People are getting really violent. They're shooting each other and beating each other up at traffic lights. And I said, yeah, don't I know it? And I told him about Mary. So these events are the impetus for the reiteration of Sinat Chinam. I believe we are in the end of days, and the end of days will be times of extremes that simply cannot coexist. They are so different that they cannot come to any agreement. People are getting very angry very quickly, which gives rise to hatred, and which is erupting in violence. People are acting on that hatred. On the other end of the spectrum, some have determined that we should never get angry, we should never hate, and that we should never be violent. They call upon a bumper sticker from the 60s, which has had quite a long run of a shelf life. War is not the answer. Well, that is an insufficient statement. What's the question? You have to first determine what the question is. How do you stop Hitler? If that's the question, well, we had an experiment for all to see. The proponents of war is never the answer had their champion in Chamberlain, who tried to negotiate with Hitler. That failed. Winston Churchill answered the question, war is how you stop Hitler. As it turns out, unfortunately, Chamberlain was right. And war was the only way to stop that megalomaniac. always figure out what the question is before you believe the answer. I mean, this is a logic class 101. I'm sorry. I learned this before I got to junior high. These are two ditches on either side of the road. The road is a better way to travel. It's easier. The 9th of Av has been a day of intense sadness for the Jewish people. Both the first and the second temples were destroyed on this day. The first temple was destroyed. Our rabbis sat around and tried to determine why would God allow his house to be destroyed by the heathen? My people believe God is Ish Milchama, man of war. He is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. There is no human force that can resist him. Why did God allow this? And they determined it was our fault. It was the fault of the Jewish people. And they said that the first temple was destroyed for the three sins of idolatry, fornication, and shedding the blood of the innocent. This discussion takes place in the Tractate Yoma. They determined that the destruction of the second place, second temple, was because of the sin of Sinat Chinam, hatred without a cause. And in this comparison, we determined that baseless hatred has the exact same consequences as idolatry, forbidden sexual relations, and the shedding and the murdering of the innocent, shedding of innocent blood. There's an equal sign. Sadly, baseless hatred is increasing in our society, seemingly at an exponential rate. It is getting crazy. Yeshua speaks to this condition, this concept of sinat chinam, and he tells us there are some very serious consequences in Matthew 5. If you are angry with your brother, you are guilty of murder. Now, the phrase without cause is not put in the text, but it is implicit. And the reason I state without equivocation that it is implicit, it is implied, is because being angry is not sin. And I make that determination from the scriptures themselves. Psalm 4, be angry, but do not sin. So that makes a difference. It differentiates between anger and sin. Paul, in Ephesians 4, refers to Psalm 4 and says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not give the devil an opportunity. I also determined that anger is not sin, because if it was, God would be not sinless. God gets angry. Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. God hates. Six things do I hate, even seven. He enumerates the things that he hates for us. Why? He wants us to hate those things as well. Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And he enumerates what he considers evil. And the only conclusion you can draw is that he desires us to hate the same things he hates. Not just love the same things he loves. The Lord was angry with man, and he destroyed all but eight souls in a flood. He was angry with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed that city. He was often angry with Israel, and he at one point, even to the point that he wanted to destroy Israel and make a new people out of Moshe, and Moshe talked him down. There's a whole understanding behind that. It's not that Moses won the argument. this was a test of Moshe to see if he would intercede for the nation, if he was a true shepherd. When he returns, his anger is going to burn hot. And according to what I can determine from Revelation and Daniel and Zechariah, most of humanity will cease to exist in an instant. Yeshua was often very angry during his ministry. He was angry at times at his disciples. He was angry at times with the leadership of Israel. Well, no, he was angry all the time with the leadership of Israel. Once he was angry enough to the point of violence, wasn't he? He fashioned a whip out of some cords and started. Can you picture this scene? Yeshua wasn't well-dressed. He wasn't well-known. He didn't have credentials. He didn't have an exalted position in Israel. He just fashions his things and starts beating up people in the temple. Can you picture this scene? People watched and thought he was completely insane. Of course, when God hates, there are good reasons. It is not baseless. There are two ways to determine those who fear God. You can see what they love, and you can determine if they fear God by what they hate. Both sides. So what is baseless hatred, or hatred without a cause? Actually, a more essential and profound question would be, does hatred without a cause even exist? Personally, I wouldn't know anything about baseless hatred. Everybody I've ever hated has deserved it. My little facetious retort there reveals truth. No one hates without a cause. There is always a reason. It's not gratuitous. There's reasons people hate. I watch people flaunt their perverse behavior before all to behold, and I get angry. I hate what they're doing. I am powerless to stop the murder of millions of babies, and I get angry. And I hate what they're doing. Man cuts me off in traffic, and I get angry. I really hate when people do that. Of course, when I cut someone off, there's always a reason. Mostly it's just because of an accident. And then I get angry at the guy who got angry with me because he's angry with me. Even racists don't hate without a cause. There's a reason. They hate people because of the color of their skin. All who hate have reasons, albeit some of those reasons are not very good reasons, as in the last two examples. And herein lies the essence of the phrase sinat chinam, or a baseless hatred. In practice, it is not hatred without a cause. It is hatred without sufficient cause, without a just cause. It also applies to exaggerated responses to the things that you hate. American jurisprudence has applied this in our system of justice and forbids cruel or unusual punishment. For instance, most people get annoyed or angry when somebody cuts them off on a highway. But running them off the road and then shooting them is a greater response than the offense would require. And most people in more lucid moments would admit that, not at the time of being cut off. But later, they would recognize, you know, maybe that would be over the top. Hating and attacking someone because of the color of their skin or because they didn't like the way you changed the lane is a greater response than any perceived offense would call for. Equity, justice. The punishment must fit the crime. In order to sustain hatred without a just or sufficient cause, requires that we weave an intricate matrix of lies to sustain that hatred. The cause for it in the first place was insufficient, so we have to invent other reasons in order to sustain that hate. Hatred is a panacea. It is a large basket into which everything can be thrown and everything becomes right. It is both the cause and the solution to all of our problems. Don't laugh. It works. It has worked throughout history. Hatred can actually be cathartic. If you and I can agree that so-and-so is a jerk, you and I begin to bond. We get closer. Goebbels was a genius at this. Hitler and Goebbels blamed Germany's problems on the Jews. There was a lot of problems in Germany. The Weimar Republic was going down in flames, literally wheelbarrows of cash to buy a loaf of bread. Everybody hated everything that was going on. It was, as Jeff Foxworthy says, it was pandelirium. So they came up with this idea. We need something to focus on. We need somebody to blame. They blamed the Jews. And all of a sudden, Germans came back and there was unity. They came back together. There are times when common hatred is bad. There are times when common hatred is not. The fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. When God and I both hate the same things, we share a communion, and a unity between us develops. And once again, we would be better served in both loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Perhaps we wouldn't be in this situation that we're in right now. Isn't this exactly what happened with Pinchas? He was appalled and jealous for the name of God as a prince of Israel brought his heathen wife into the temple. He follows them in there and he spears them both. He kills them. Now, once again, put yourself in the place of somebody in that Ohel Moed, that tent of the meeting. And this crazy-eyed guy comes in with a spear into the house of God and kills two people inside the sanctuary. The vast majority of people would look at him like he was completely insane. They'd wrestle him to the ground. They'd call police. And he'd be under arrest. He'd be tried and he would be convicted. But God's ways are not our ways. God doesn't seem to be so upset. In fact, God says, finally, I'm paraphrasing, finally, a man who's jealous for my name, somebody who cares. And he informs Israel, I'm going to avert the judgment because I was about to do this to all of you. But I'm going to avert that judgment for the sake of Pinchas and what he did. And he tells Pinchas, you will sleep with the fathers, which is a Jewish idiom, which means you got nothing to worry about. Don't be afraid. Pinchas' anger had sufficient cause. God confirms that. Sinat Chinam is an infectious disease, and it's spread by those who are infected. They always will try to gather others and infect them with the same baseless hatred. And typically what happens is the incident is always exaggerated, and the hatred then expands to include more than those who have committed the offense. Even a righteous indignation, such as Pinchas, can be turned into an unrighteous indignation, an unrighteous hatred. There are always potholes on this road. In 1970, Sel and I were dirt poor. We lived in the ghetto. I found myself a menial job, and I came home, unlocked the door, opened it up, and there is a man standing with a knife up against Sylvia's throat. "Give me your money." I became very angry with that man. But then again, that anger was not sin. I think most people would understand why I might be unhappy with his actions. I mention this only because of the context of this message. Normally, I would refer to him as a man because the color of his skin is irrelevant. The operative point here is the knife to my wife's throat, not the color of his skin. In this particular case, it just happened to be a black man. Now, if I allowed it, if I turned that anger towards him, towards all men of darker complexion, and said, "All black men are murderous thieves," that would not be righteous. My anger towards somebody doing evil, which is not unrighteous, would then be turned into something unrighteous. And now I would be evil. The reason is that's delusional. The premise itself is a prevarication. It's an avoidance of the truth. I'm trying to be verbose. Plainly stated, it's a lie. It's not true. A couple more examples. Jews are real sensitive about the Holocaust. Germany behaved quite poorly in the 20th century. Started two world wars, which resulted in over 100 million people dead. In World War II, Hitler tried to wipe out entire people groups, of which the Jews were one. The hatred of what the Nazis did is not unrighteous. In fact, it's required. If you love the Lord and you fear him, you're required to hate these kinds of actions, this wanton destruction of humanity. Perfectly warranted. What they did was unspeakable. I hate what happened, and I hate those who participated in what happened. However, I have not allowed my mind to be turned over to evil, which it easily could, and which it has in many. I have not allowed myself to transfer that hatred of those who committed evil to all Germans. For all Germans didn't do this. I do not believe that all Germans are Jew haters. It is simply untrue. We have a number of people in this congregation of German descent. Felicitas is not here, so I can embarrass her. Felicitas was alive and well. She was alive during Hitler's Europe. She carries guilt with her, but I assess no guilt to her. Felicitas loves me. Felicitas loves my people. Felicitas supports Israel. If I didn't like Felicitas simply because, by a quirk of fate, she was born in Germany, I would be evil. That's evil. If I hated all Germans because some Germans hated all Jews, I would be just as guilty as of sinat chinam as they were. Am I making sense? Does this register here? Slavery in this nation revealed sinat chinam. There was some in this nation that believed African Americans were inferior and held them in contempt. Today, that's been reversed. Now it's believed that white people are inferior and many hold white people in contempt. It's the same thing. It's just as silly and just as stupid. I was with a friend at a gathering. And I don't know how, somehow the subject of slavery came up. And again, I normally don't describe my friends by their color, but for the context of this message, it's important. He happened to be a black man. And he began speaking about what white people did to the black people and the need for reparations. I chose not to respond. I wasn't really in the conversation. Primarily, he was speaking to some other people, and I said, this is not worth it. Seek to be at peace with all men. Unfortunately, the vitriol increased rather dramatically. And it got to a point I could no longer hold my peace. And I interrupted the conversation. And I said, brother, what do I owe you? What do I owe you? My granddaddy got here in 1920. He was dirt poor. He never owned anyone. He could barely afford to feed his family. What do I owe you? I went on. White people didn't invent slavery, and we weren't the only ones to own slaves. Slavery is a part of every single nation's history and culture. Every single one. Africans, Asians, people from India, the Middle East, Europe, all practiced slavery. Some were far more vicious than others, but slavery was there. Slavery was a part of the indigenous culture of this nation. All throughout North America and South America, and in fact, slavery persists to this day in Africa, Middle East, and in many parts of South America, China as well. It still exists. Yes, there were some white people who owned slaves. There were other white people who found that abhorrent, and they fought a war to abolish slavery, and 360,000 of them died. I don't hear any calls for reparations for their families. Those who died setting slaves free. It is racist to assume that because one black man commits a crime that all black men are criminals. Is it not just as racist to assume that because of the bad behavior of some white people, that all white people behave poorly and are responsible? This is foolishness of the first order. It's crazy. And this is precisely what Dr. King addressed when he dreamt of the day when a man would be judged, not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. This is sinat chinam, hatred without sufficient cause, without a just cause. Conversation ended. Thank God our friendship did not, but it was strained. These days, people get very offended and very angry, and they do so very quickly. Without equivocation, I state that this is an evil spirit that is causing the love of many to become cold. You can argue with me if you want. I will not engage. This is an evil spirit because it is not cerebral. The mind cannot sustain that argument. It is irrational. It is spiritual. These days, as I observe what's going on, it appears that there's a lot of people who want to be offended. They look for it. Somehow they feel better when they're offended by something. We sometimes get offended even when we're not involved. We hear something and think perhaps somebody else was offended, and we take up their offense. The dangers of secondhand offenses. It is possible that the person he's talking to was not offended. If you go to New York City and you hear two people talking, you're going to assume that they're fixing to throw hands, and right now. They're not. They're goofing. That's the official word to describe that kind of behavior. It's called goofing. They're role-playing, and they get into it. But they're not angry. They're fooling around. You know, we had something in this country. It's a long-forgotten little piece of Americana. It's not in use anymore. But I loved it. We had this thing. It was called a joke. And people would tell it, and then people would start to laugh, you know? And when you laugh, what happens to the mind is the mind just shuts down. And it just reacts, and it just starts laughing. And then if you got some guys like we had, I had some friends, and they had these really peculiar laughs. And when they would start laughing, then you forgot the joke. And then you started laughing at their laugh. And then that spread. And the next thing you know, everybody is just laughing. And we have no idea why. But it felt good. Ah, those were the days. You could actually tell a joke. It was still legal. I hope you pick up on my sarcasm. If not, see me for prayer. You're obtuse. And let's say a person was offended. We might consider the possibility that that person who is offended is being a bit oversensitive. You know, just because somebody's offended doesn't make them right. That is a possibility. Here's the thing. We are under continual attack, and especially the body of Messiah. And we should know better. See, I was not born only of water and blood. In John chapter 3, I'm told I was born of the wind. I have God's breath in me. I have the ability to discern, to know, to understand, to see what's really going on, if I but choose to use it. We need to armor up. We need to become wise to the wiles of the enemy and do not allow him to delude you into being angry or hating without cause. Be angry. Don't sin. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Satan is manipulating us like little marionettes. He's playing us. Don't let him play you. You will not like the tune. If you allow hatred and anger to consume you, you will go mad. Stark, raving mad. Resist the spirit of this age and be righteous in your generation. Be slow to anger and seek to be at peace with all. Out of the abundance of the heart speaks forth the mouth. If you watch what you think, you won't need to watch what you say. because your mouth will reveal what is in your heart. Speaking the truth is not the command. The command is to speak the truth in love, exhorting one another to behave in a righteous fashion. It is past time for believers to implement the scriptural principles into their lives. And when we integrate what we believe with the things that we say and the things that we do, then we become men and women of integrity. That is what it means. To be a person of integrity means you integrate what you believe with what you do. Be careful out there. Dangerous. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise and honor and glory to you. And I thank you, you have not abandoned us to rely only on our own understanding, but you have given us the breath of life, your holy wind, that we might be able to understand and be aware of all that is around us, not just the flesh and blood, but the spiritual principalities that are in operation continually. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Make us wise. Perhaps even enable us that our actions would be Kedush Hashem, that would sanctify and reveal your name in this world, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Oh.